ora, and welcome back to System Fix, a podcast from the health media. My name is Barbara Fountain, and I am editor of New Zealand Doctor Rata Aotearoa. Each episode of System Fix, we take a look at progress with the reforms proposed for the New Zealand health system. These arose from the report of the Health and Disability System Review Panel, aka the Simpson Report. However, they have been significantly revved up by Health Minister Andrew Little to become what I like to call the Big Little Revolution. On System Fix, I speak with regular panellists and invited guests about the changes, the highs, the lows, what's happened to date, and what we might expect. Thanks for joining me.
Nearly a fifth of New Zealanders, or 19.4% to be precise, live in rural places. And we expect this proportion to grow slightly over the next 20 years. We know that rural people have worse health outcomes. The Health and Disability System Review told us this, and it's what I hear from healthcare workers. The situation is worse for rural Māori and for people with disabilities.
That was Health Minister Andrew Little speaking to delegates at the National Rural Health Conference early in May, held at the Wairaki Resort near Taupō. The conference was a week after Mr. Little made his long-awaited announcements of the new structure for the health system, which included the merging of DHBs into one national entity and the creation of new structures called localities as the focus of primary and community health services. You can learn more about the proposed changes in Episode 8 of System Fix, The Big Reveal. It has taken a while for this podcast to see the light of day, and my apologies to those who took part. After the rural conference, I was laid low by a flu-like illness, COVID negative, I hasten to add, and hot on the heels came the New Zealand Primary Healthcare Awards, another health media production. And then the budget, which you can hear more about in Episode 9, Go Figure. But I also want to apologise for some of the sound quality of this recording. The conference was a rather joyful occasion for friends and colleagues, and finding a quiet spot to record was a bit of a challenge. In most cases, we just stepped outside into the country air, and the occasional birdsong seemed a fitting backdrop for rural discussion. But I was not expecting another element of that rural soundtrack, trucks barreling along State Highway 1 nearby. You're right, I need to do some system fixing myself. Lessons have been learned. But now back to the conference. The 400 or so delegates included DHB and PHO managers keen to hear more about the reforms from the star attractions, Health Minister Andrew Little, Associate Health Minister Pene Hanare, and Health and Disability System Transition Unit Deputy Director Martin Hefford. Martin is seconded to the unit from his day job as Chief Executive of Tuara Compass. I caught up with him after his presentation. We started by talking about rural localities.
My thought around a rural locality, and I posed the question whether people would want to think about creating a rural network. And to put it in context, as part of this wider view of localities not just being a geographical area, but also being a community of interest. And to the extent that you've got greater similarities between, for instance, you know, rural Tairāwhiti and rural Northland, even the rural Waikato area, then perhaps there are some opportunities to run those as a single network or as a consortium of networks into the future. That makes some sense to me. There is a question mark in my head, though, also, that one of the opportunities in localities is to work on place-based health issues to improve population health. So you want to have a relationship with local councils, you know, so that you're involved in their decisions around things like active transport and cycle lanes and how easy it is for pedestrians and public transport and things like how many gambling outlets they have, how many liquor outlets, etc. So if you've got networks that aren't based in a geographical area, it does make that a little more complicated. So that's the bit that I would want to have people think through. So putting in a proposal around a rural network.
Because one of the things, I suppose, with our rural areas is by nature a lot of them are quite small, and by nature localities would tend to work better with a kind of larger core and population size. So that's going to be quite a challenge.
That is exactly right. If you think about somewhere like Wairoa, which I think is a 10 or 12,000 population, and that would be smaller than the Health and Disability Review report recommended. They were suggesting 20 to 100,000, and yet if you're planning services, that's got to be a sensible place to think about, you know, what do we need in Wairoa, you know, what's the primary care and the secondary care and so on there. And maybe we're going to end up with something a bit layered where we've got almost sub-localities, where you've got bits that make up a larger network. That might be a possibility. I don't think we need to be too constrained at this point. One of the suggestions which we're hoping will be advanced is that we prototype some things over this next 12 months. We don't want to wait till the new entities are fully established. So we are hoping to be able to prototype some locality networks of different types in this 21-22 financial year. And maybe we can try some very small and some kind of urban, non-geographic localities.
Because in your work as chief executive to Aura Compass, I recall end of last year you launched a project in Kapiti, which we kind of talked about as being a prototype locality. It's quite early days. Have you got any feedback yet on how that's going?
The Kapiti Community Health Network, as we called it, is a kind of joint project between Te Ora, Compass Health, the PHO, and the Capital Coast DHB sponsoring it. It's interesting in that we've got a local governance group which includes the chair of the local iwi runanga, so Te Atiawa Ki Whakarongotai, co-chairing with the chair of the Community Health Advisory Group, which is a local authority group. And we think that's actually quite a nice model where you've got local iwi, you've got local authority, you've got, in our case, PHO primary care and the hospital or DHB side working together on locality plans. Been some nice things come out of that already. There is a guest house in Kapiti, which has a lot of people who are transient and mental health problems, drug and alcohol problems, a lot of police involvement, social service involvement, and lots of people going in doing various things, but nobody taking ownership of the overall issue. And so one of the quick projects has been putting in place a coordinated response to the needs of the people who live in that. It sounds like a small thing, a guest house, but it's actually a kind of a group of buildings, around 200 people. So with high needs. So that was a nice quick one. The other one, the Kapiti community quickly put in place, was the ambulance diversion arrangement, so that people were concerned it was hard to get an ambulance, and it's a long way from Waikanae to Wellington. It'd take a good hour to get there, and then you wait around maybe 5 or 6 hours in ED, and then you have to try and get back because the ambulance isn't going to take you back necessarily. And so we had elderly people quite distraught, and we're put in place with the agreement between Wellington Free Ambulance, DHB, and local GPs, a diversion so that if the person's not clearly going to need the bells and whistles of a tertiary hospital, they can be taken to their local GP or the A&M, who will see them for free and will give them priority and do their best to arrange things to avoid them having to go to ED. That's been really popular. Again, a local solution. You wouldn't do that in Wellington City because it's not the same thing, but in Kapiti it works.
Some of our professional groups have already quite well organised, obviously general practice, and the localities are going to look at bringing a whole range of clinicians and healthcare providers into contracts. And I just wonder if you've got any thoughts about midwives, and you mentioned clinical pharmacists in your presentation, physios, OTs, all these other groups where they've tended to work as a sole provider, you know, probably fee for service, and how we go about inviting them into these localities when they haven't had those structured kind of contracts previously?
Yeah, I think that's really good question. It's one of the things exercising our minds. One way would be to provide a kind of a funding stream that, if you take something like physiotherapy, you know, there isn't really funding for physiotherapy unless you have an accident or people employed in the hospital settings. So could we provide a funding stream that recognised physiotherapy working as part of a primary care team that dealt with a lot of the musculoskeletal issues that might otherwise go to the GP, that might free up GP time and it brings that physiotherapy expertise to the team as well. And we might get better outcomes around chronic pain and management of arthritis and some of the things that otherwise get a little bit lost. So I think if we create a place for them, most of them will want to work as part of a team.
If you're a rural general practice of an average size, maybe 4 or 5 doctors, which is probably quite large for a rural general practice, and you're wanting to take the first steps and getting involved in this restructuring, what do you do next?
There's a question of what and also a question of when. So right now is the time to think about, you know, what are the opportunities and what would work for our area. And when we have Interim Health New Zealand is the time to put forward those ideas about our local health system would be improved if we could have this change, whatever the changes are, which will be from about September this year. And then, of course, resources will still be constrained. So Health New Zealand is going to have to be making priority calls around this. But some of the issues are not about resource, but about, you know, good planning and allocation. So I think if I was in a rural GP practice, I'd be currently thinking about what are the things that I would want to see come out of this and being able to put those forward really clearly.
What excites you most about the changes?
There are two things that really excite me. One of them is that we might actually get a concerted focus on primary and community care, which most governments come into power talking about. And as Shane Retty said at the conference, most of them have failed to deliver. Mm. And I think it's frustrated the governments as much as it's frustrated the health workforce. So, you know, a good separation of that strand so that we get a focus on it. And then the other thing, the idea of us all working for one system. Yes, we might be employed by our own local organisation, but the idea of working for one system, which was something nice that Canterbury kind of pioneered, you know, the Canterbury health system across entities.
Martin was not alone in enthusiasm for the changes. A number of people I spoke to saw the challenges and the possibilities. Hani Winter, Ngāti Rangi and Ngāti Yunuku, is from Raitihi in the Ruapehu district. She is a director of the general practice, the Ruapehu Health Limited. Honey said she was excited to hear Martin's comments about localities, and she sees the reforms as a real game changer for her iwi and community, with the potential to grow work already underway.
We're actually beginning to move into that space around integration, about looking at a new model of care, our wellness centre, where we bring everybody under the same roof and work in a more collaborative way. So I was really excited to hear that. And particularly too, obviously, with the Māori Health Authority and what that will mean, and that we can really address inequity. And I think that's going to be a real game changer for us as a people and as a community, actually. Yeah.
At the moment, what do you see as the main challenge?
I think the main challenge ahead is the implementation of that. And, you know, I just said when we were listening to Minister Little, and somebody stood up in the audience and said, you know, we need it now. And, you know, I just hope that we err on the side of caution, that we take our time, that we really think this through and what this actually means. I think this is an opportunity for us all. And so, you know, I just say, let's err on the side of caution.
Are they easy concepts for small communities to understand, do you think, like localities and health NZ?
Yes, I think we've been really fortunate because in our community, we've already begun that. You know, we've got our health providers in terms of leadership. We've got iwi leadership all at the table, all talking the same talk. And we've got a community that has a voice, and they're part and parcel of the new changes that are coming into our areas. So I think we're very ready for it. And so we're quite excited about that, yes.
The name Gary Nixon is familiar to many following the debates around rural health. He has been a doctor at Dunstan Hospital in Clyde in central Otago since 1992, and in more recent years, an associate professor in the Department of General Practice and Rural Health at Otago University. I asked him to describe his first reaction to the minister's announcement on the health reforms.
Brave. These are like really major structural changes, so I thought that they were being pretty brave. I mean, some things are sort of absolutely no-brainer, and particularly the Māori Health Authority. I mean, that's just fantastic to see. I can see lots of possibilities and potential in what's been proposed for rural, but obviously the devil is very much in the detail. I was a little bit disappointed in the fact that, particularly in the review's interim report, there was a lot of discussion about rural as a vulnerable group that needed particular solutions. And I think that happened because the panel had gone around rural New Zealand and had seen the issues and listened to rural health professionals and communities. But, you know, as it's gone through sort of each iteration to the point with the recent announcements, that's the emphasis on rural has largely disappeared. And that obviously worries me a little bit. Having said that, there is potential there. Particularly if they really start to involve rural as a particular a group right at the beginning of the planning and don't just try and mainstream us.
It's interesting that you feel like the mention of rural has been reduced over the time, because, as you say, the Māori Health Authority is a very strong pronouncement, and a lot of rural health is about Māori health.
Which is why, for us, that's an incredibly important initiative. No, you're exactly right. But there does also need to be in Health New Zealand and within the idea of localities, there needs to be a real strong emphasis on the right models of rural healthcare delivery.
I think localities, well, people can grasp the idea, but I often wonder if people really appreciate how small rural can be, and localities does rely on a certain, you know, size that will work.
You know, what a locality is going to look like, I mean, we've got no real information on that at all. What people are talking about as potential localities, you know, are from the very small to the very, very large. So there's obviously a lot of work that's got to be done on that. To a certain extent, though, in rural, we often have very natural communities of interest that are often have already got their own, you know, community-run health infrastructure in place. So probably in rural areas, you know, what's going to be a natural locality may be easier to define than what it's going to be in the cities anyway. We do have to make sure, though, that those localities reflect the natural boundaries of rural communities and their health services and iwi, that you can't have someone sitting in Wellington drawing lines on a map.
One of the questions that was raised yesterday was, what is the place of rural hospitals in localities? And that also brings to mind that maybe it's easy to create a locality where a rural hospital already exists because it becomes a bit of a focus. Do you see that as an issue for areas where there isn't an obvious focus for services?
Yes, I do. But even in those rural communities that don't have a hospital, it's pretty common for them to have some sort of community-based health entity. So I don't think a hospital is an essential component of that by any means. But in those areas where there is one, then obviously they're going to be in a very important, you know, part of the locality. I think one of the real problems that we have had in New Zealand around rural is the lack of decent data. They're talking currently about postcode disparities in terms of access to services. They are largely meaning differences between DHB regions in terms of access to services. And I can understand that. That's because what we measure. In New Zealand, we haven't tended to measure the urban-rural differences within a region. And those of us that work in the sector know that those differences, both in terms of health outcomes and access to services, are likely to be much larger than the differences between DHB regions. I mean, the work that we're doing is really an effort to provide a fit-for-purpose tool to make it much easier to measure those differences between urban and rural communities.
What's the one thing that excites you most about the changes?
Obviously, the Māori Health Authority. That's got to be absolutely top of the list. But then I think there's actually two things that probably excite me, and they're around potential. One is at a national level. Invariably, under the DHB system, rural was a very small part, and usually sort of the troublesome part, of a much larger DHB. If we're talking about a national health service, then rural as a whole is actually going to be much, much larger. Mm. And especially if it's networked in the right sort of way, it should potentially generate sort of quite a strong networked common voice that hopefully will give it a much stronger voice and give it a chance to network and develop its rural specific solutions as well. So at that national level, I think there's real hope. The other thing is around localities. I mean, I think that could be really helpful in rural, and a real way of sort of overcoming the problem with the fact that our health services are often siloed along urban lines, whereas in a locality may be a really good opportunity to bring together, you know, the allied health and the primary care and the inpatient and the diagnostic services into a much more sensible way that makes sense in that particular region.
Localities seem to be the tricky part of rural health. As so many people say, the devil is in the detail. Kate Baddock, recent chair of the NZMA and a GP in Warkworth, north of Auckland, has been thinking about this detail and has a suggestion as to how localities might work.
What concerns me is I think that there is a risk, which I don't know to what extent it's been acknowledged or mitigated so far, and that is that we're going to conceivably see particularly smaller DHBs reconfiguring themselves as the district locality services. And we're still going to see the entrenched hospital-type attitudes with a clear demarcation between that which is hospital and that which is primary care, which is only going to perpetuate the current problem, or one of the current problems. And equally, I see that there is a risk that some of the PHOs may recreate themselves to become locality networks, but I also see that PHOs might also see themselves as being the lead provider to manage locality networks. Also, I think there may be areas in New Zealand where GPs choose not to become part of a locality network, but rather see themselves contracting with a locality network. So there may be a role for some of the bigger PHOs to take on a national type role and negotiate on behalf of GPs to contract with locality networks. So there's a number of options in the primary care space, some of which are riskier than others, some of which may find more favour than others. But I wondered whether there may be consideration of, instead of perpetuating the possible current demarcations, instead of having two separate entities, both in that locality space, just having one entity, and that that entity actually involves iwi, hospital and primary care, all the providers who provide services within the community care setting. So actually you'd have around the table, you'd have the hospital at the table, you'd have iwi at the table, you'd have possibly council at the table, and you'd have NGOs and GPs and pharmacy and midwives and who have you, all at the table together, along with the community itself, looking at health needs analysis for the community and then devising a plan that would look at those health needs. And then all together, you get to go crank it up to the regional health division and look for commissioning of services. So you're taking away those artificial barriers between what happens in a community and what happens in a hospital setting by putting them actually at the same table, not just separate structures at the same table, but the same structure at the same table.
Because that was an issue that was raised this morning around where do rural hospitals sit? Do they sit in a hospital network or do they sit in a locality? And what you're suggesting...
It doesn't matter. Because, in fact, they would sit within the local network as part of what constitutes that local community. So the idea itself is just one of many. But I think that it should be given due consideration along with other ideas, in that there may well be communities where actually just having a single entity makes a lot more sense than keeping the district level services separate from the locality network.
So is that something you could see in your own region?
We don't have a hospital, so no. I think that the locality network for the Warkworth, Wellsford, Greater Northern Rodney area would not involve the local hospital, but would it certainly involve the local birthing unit. So it depends on what's there as to what actually would be part of that network. Certainly I think there's merit in thinking about it, because I do think that there is a significant risk that there will be bodies that want to perpetuate the status quo, albeit under a different guise. It would look a little bit like the best of the alliances, but you've taken away the funding driver. So the hospital piece sitting in the network doesn't have a funding hat, because the funding is coming down through the regional office and has already been determined. So it's not part of the discussion. The discussion is about delivery of service and what services. It's not about competing for services. It's not about even thinking, well, I want to keep this in the community, or I want to keep this in the hospital setting, or I'm going to transfer it to the hospital community and it's going to cost X. Let's just take diabetes, for instance. Let's say you've got a smallish community that does have a little hospital, say Omaru or something like that. So all these people are sitting around the table together. They've determined through their health needs analysis that one of the things the community could really do with is a really good diabetes service. So you might have sitting around the table the NGOs involved in diabetes care. You'll have obviously the people of the community themselves. You'll have local iwi, you'll have the hospital, you'll have the GP providers, you'll have whoever else is operating in that space to deliver care. And between them, they can look at this particular issue and go, what do we need to do to reduce the incidence of diabetes in this community? And the community people might say, what we need are more cycle tracks. for instance, right? So council's also around the table. So you go, okay, how can we make some cycle tracks happen? And then you might have, how about we start to talk to the local supermarkets and see what we can do in that space? You know, there's a whole lot of things you could do that are right at the social determinant end of dealing with diabetes. You can decide what services ought to be delivered, say, for instance, in community halls, in Marae, in general practices. And then you've got what needs to still happen within a hospital setting. And you can then determine what that is. Mm. And then you've got this lovely plan sorted. You take it up to regional and you say, this is going to cost X. It might be utopic, if that's a word, but I think that it deserves thinking about. These networks aren't business entities, they're not companies, they don't have a structure, right? But they can commission services. So if you think about what's been deconstructed in this, is that you no longer have a DHB, you don't have the governance involved with that, you don't have the management involved with that, you have still got some basic hospital services, but the employees are funded directly from Health New Zealand. You've got a modified, much better, capitation formula, which is funding general practice. You've got midwives who are still funded by how they're funded. You've still got pharmacists being funded how they're funded, NGOs funded how they're all there funded. But what you're looking at is, how do you deliver this service? You've deconstructed PHOs. So let's say PHO management fee is now in the Health New Zealand box. You've got other management costs which are now in the Health New Zealand box. And so I would have thought that even without new investment, there should be enough pennies sitting in the box to actually be able to commission these kinds of services without it threatening the income of the various people around the table. Implementation's got to be the hardest part of redesigning a health system, because if you can't see how you might get to be, you know, and here I am talking 50 years down the line now, but if we have no idea how we're going to make that incremental change that will actually get you ultimately to that point, then we're never actually going to make any steps at all. And if we perpetuate the status quo under another name, we're not going to make any steps at all in that direction. So I think we need to be looking at, what are we kind of thinking of for the long-term securing of a really robust, world-class health system in New Zealand? And what, therefore, do we need to look at in order to achieve that? And I think that if we look at anything less than 10-year chunks, we might as well just go home, because nothing happens any faster than that. I think the whole thing is so interesting and is so full of opportunity that nobody should feel threatened by this. Everybody should either be relaxed about it or be positively enthusiastic about it.
So, one entity at the locality level combining primary, community and secondary care. Kate is certainly enthusiastic about that possibility. Jo Scott-Jones, or Potiki GP and Medical Director of Pinnacle Midland Health Network, was a little more reserved when I asked him for his thoughts on the idea of a national rural locality, or possibly a network of rural localities.
We were presented with the idea, potential for a national rural locality, which I think has got a lot of fishhooks in it, as well as some real benefits. We say there's, you see one rural town, you've seen one rural town. So there's a lot of benefit from acknowledging that there is a lot of difference between one community and another. And the locality idea has got a lot of legs in terms of addressing the needs of specific rural communities and their specific needs. We also know that at a national level, there are things like workforce and funding need a national scale and a national approach to deal with. And the idea of different localities being involved in that national program is almost unworkable because there's going to be too many different competing interests based on individual localities. So somehow we have to address that tension. I think that might be around having a specific rural part of the New Zealand health strategy, acknowledging in the New Zealand charter that rural is an important community within New Zealand that needs specific health approaches. And then within Health New Zealand and its district offices, having a rurally focused national program that'll help with workforce funding, transportation is universal, you know, access is the rural issue, although there might be local individual solutions for individual patients to access their local hospitals in terms of transport, it does need a national focus to be able to actually fund it and make it really happen. So yeah, it's complicated. It's really complicated. And we've got a lot of work to do in the next 2 or 3 months to really inform the transition unit around what they inform the government and how they structure it. So, but lots of opportunity in that as well. So within a particular area, say the Waikato, South Waikato has quite different needs and different local resources compared to the Coromandel. What the size of the locality is going to be is also a real challenge. If you anticipate that the district is going to be at a sort of district health board sort of size, how the localities are bounded, and then within that, what sub-localities there are that need a particular agenda or particular plan, again, is going to really add to the complexity of it. But we don't want to end up reproducing a highly fragmented system across the whole country. And this, the size of the localities and the ability of people to actually engage is something that's really important to sort out. And not to over-promise and under-deliver as well. You hear of individual communities thinking, oh, well, our town is going to be a locality. I think our town needs specific focus and we need to plan for our town within the locality is probably how it'll work out. Okay. Lots of meetings.
I asked Joe what excited him most about the proposed changes.
The strategy of one health system for New Zealand. That's something we've been looking for a long time. And it has never really made sense to me that we had CHEES and HFAs and 20 different PHBs and no overarching national strategy around health. We're a very small country. Yeah, that's the thing that's got me most excited is that national, the scale and reducing variability, improving quality really needs a national focus.
During the conference, I caught up with Emily Gill, also from Opotiki. Emily has been involved in petitioning the government to ensure commissioning power for the Māori Health Authority. I asked Emily, as a rural GP, what her reaction was to the announcement of the changes.
As Martin sort of alluded to in Penny Henare talked about, it's now about creating that waka to actually decide the details. It sounds like it's up to us in some ways to figure out what that details are. So if you were asking about the locality aspect of it, well, of course, from the perspective of wanting an empowered Māori Health Authority with authority, what I think locality means is that Te Tiriti partnership. So it's going to be about how health services partner with the local iwi and hapu, because that's where the partnership is. So the Māori Health Authority will be a crown entity, and they will be the ones who determine how that partnership looks like with the local tangata whenua. So that's quite interesting. That's a very interesting space to explore and see how that's going to evolve. So I'm quite excited about that, because that does seem different from what we've had, because the new crown entity is going to be actually designed by and for Māori, who will then partner with the actual tangata whenua in each area. So I thought it was cool how Penny said, nobody can tell Tuwharitoa what to do. Nobody in our rohe, that would be whanuapanui. And no, that's right. Nobody can tell whanuapanui how to do things. So in some ways, that this whole concept of sort of having more of a te ao Māori perspective to our healthcare, locality is embedded in te ao Māori. Because, of course, you can't tell a local tangata whenua what to do. So I really like that idea of locality, even though we're talking about centralizing things from a governance and accountability perspective, so that there aren't differences in fair distribution of resources, and actually more importantly than distribution of resources is fair outcomes. So we need to make sure that outcomes are fair across the country. What was neat about the localities is it really seems to be the strong emphasis is the tino rangatiratanga, the decisions about how the services are going to be delivered are going to be locality based. That's exciting. Yeah. And then, of course, the other conversation is about how the resources and the money will be distributed. And a wise colleague pointed out to me that what we need to make sure of is that the money that does go to the Māori Health Authority needs to be spent for the things that it was designed to address, which is the unfair systemic structures. So it shouldn't be that suddenly all just standard current existing services are funded just through the Māori health authority, they have to change the structure and do the current mahi. That should probably stay within our current structure, that what's going to be Health New Zealand. So what will be interesting to see is what resources are put into the Māori Health Authority. Hopefully they'll be the real engine of change for all of us.
Among delegates were a number of people from around the rural sector, not working directly in rural health. One of those was Don Cameron, Mayor of Ruapehu District, and a keen supporter of the umbrella group RANS, Rural Health Association of Aotearoa New Zealand. As Mayor of Ruapehu District, he is familiar with Ruapehu Health, the practice that Honey Winter, who we heard from earlier, is involved with. His district has to deal with two DHBs, Waikato in the north and Whanganui in the south.
And they're like oil and water, I have to say, to deal with. But down south, we've taken over the doctor's practice, Ruapehu Health Limited, and that's now with the help of the Whanganui DHB, and particularly the CEO, Russell Simpson, we're now bringing all services together. It's been quite scattered. Some years ago, our local iwi, Natarangi, looked at the contracts being delivered, something like 38 contracts, I think it was, of which only 18 were actually being delivered into the district. One part of it is now we've taken the practice back. What it really has done, actually, is now bringing all the Māori health providers in the same building, Rongoa Health as well, as part of it. It's already starting to make a difference in that it's spinning around from being a health-based to a wellness-based. Because of this, the District Council, we've been doing a livability study for about the last nearly 2 years. And that is based around how people live in our district. And we drill down to each community and we ask people to tell us the stories, and we've got roughly 200 stories already. And now we're collecting a huge amount of data through .Love's data, a company from Wellington. We're now starting to get information that we know where we have to act in particular areas in each community. It might be transport for one, it could be warm your homes and others, to make a difference to people's wellness. So we're taking a different view from how we approach health, and in particular with the changes coming to local government, with three waters may come away from us, our job will be more about placemaking, looking after our communities. This is really just a natural part of where we're going.
So you're familiar with the theme of localities that's been proposed with the new reforms?
We've been talking about that yesterday, yet to see the detail of it. I know for some years we've been conducting rural fests. This time, to see Minister Little turn up there was probably huge people there, because for the last 6 years or so we've been going into Parliament delivering what we think should be the ideal model for rural health, and all the parliamentarians have been very enthusiastic about it, including the ministers of health for the last three governments, but nothing ever happened. More of a frustration. But just prior to COVID, I happened to be in Wellington, another meeting, and I got a phone call from Marie Daly to say, look, couldn't come to a meeting in Wellington, could you? And I said, why? She said, well, the Ministry of Health about to deliver us a plan around rural health. I said, I'm here. And silly me, I walked from Willis Street up to the top of the terrace, and by the time I got there, I was just about exhausted. But anyway, what was fascinating was they had the model that we've been banging on about for a long, long time. It had everything, so including, you know, training retention staff, all the getting faster internet through rural areas, as well as provision of health as well. Unfortunately, COVID then came, and we thought, oh, it's going to happen. Well, it looks like that model is still on the table, and that's so exciting. It really is. From a local government point of view, how do we support this? And I think we will be going back to the old days where we've got to find a house for a young doctor, and as long as over 4 years they stay at a minimum of 4 years, their debt gets wiped off. If we can help with that, surely we can help start retaining young people. So, look, I think it's really exciting. But, you know, in the meantime, we've really struggled to get GPs. We're lucky now we've not only got one, we've got two. Neither are born in New Zealand, but they're fully committed to what they're doing, and they're making a difference already. But the other part is obviously Māori health, because 46% of our population are Māori, and one or two of the communities over 50%. And that has to be tackled head on. And we're getting that, but part of the trouble with rural health is that we've struggled with rural data. So we're collecting that data ourselves and now starting to review all that data. And it points to some serious problems, but what it does point to, this is the things you can do to start tackling it, and we are tackling it. On the other side, we've now got companies who want to be part of the wellness. So we've got a Lions company who was most unpopular, who have done a huge amount about warm your homes. They've joined with King Country Energy Trust, plus we move ICA and Te Puna Kokori. I think something like 350 homes have been done, aiming to do another 200 this year, and we're already seeing the results of young people not being presented at the hospital. I mean, there are simple interventions that make a real difference. The big problem for rural areas, though, is transport to the hospitals. For our northern area, it's nearly 3 hours. The south, It's about an hour and a half and on really windy roads. But the locals now have raised money to get the right vehicle, because in some cases, in St John provides for the vehicle, if you weren't that ill when you left, you were really ill by the time you got down.
And there you have it, some rural thinking on the health reforms and what they might mean for the rural sector. It seems fitting to give the last word to Health Minister Andrew Little.
I want to emphasise that too. What I announced last week was the kind of high-level system design. There is a lot of work needed to do to fill the gaps, and that work will happen with an extraordinary level of engagement and consultation with the health sector across the board, not the least of which is the rural health sector and rural health practitioners. You have an opportunity to help to fill those gaps, and there is an opportunity there, not only through that process, but in what we set up as a permanent set of processes for our health system to strengthen your voice and those of your colleagues in the system.
Thanks for listening to System Fix, brought to you by the Health Media. If you want to learn more about changes to the health system and at the same time support independent quality journalism in New Zealand, please consider subscribing to one of our publications. New Zealand doctor Rata Aotearoa provides news and education for general practice, primary care and beyond. Pharmacy Today focuses on news and education for the pharmacy sector and includes an awesome new education feature called Class. The Rasta Te Rārangi provides a fortnightly update on people on the move in the health sector. You can find out more about these publications by going to thehealthmedia.co.nz. And please, share System Fix with your friends. They can find us wherever they usually subscribe to podcasts. Nga mihi nui, catch you next time.